It's Paul Hamilton.
He is a beat reporter for a team that has millions of fans. It is so ridiculous how many people he has blocked on Twitter over the most ridiculously stupid things. The man needs to grow up. He needs to have a little bit thicker skin.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
It is a game day for the Buffalo Sabres. We'll talk to Paul Hamilton here on the West Her Hotline. Paul's appearance is brought to you by Losey and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Sabres and Canadiens. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. How are you?
How good is Montreal as a venue?
Oh, it's great.
Is it the best? Is it by far the best?
I don't know if it's by far the best. It's one of the best. It's just with the Montreal fans and the way it's built, where in Canada you can build the arena that's kind of straight up, so you have the fans kind of looking down at you. Now, each row has a barrier, one of those, so you can't like go flying down.
Like you're talking like Sky Dome, where you're kind of on a roller coaster and there's a bar in front of you?
Yeah, there's a bar in front of you. That's what I was searching for. It's like the old odd, you know. It's built that way, you know, where the way you could go up like that. But it's just the presentation that they do there, the fans, the way they are there, how loud they are, and it's quite an experience.
Are they engaged pretty much no matter if the team is good or bad?
Oh yeah. Yeah, they are, and they jump on the Canadians quickly. That's one of the big keys. I mean, if you can come out of the gate and really fast against Montreal, they'll be on them right away. They don't waste any time booing them or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, 7:30 face-off tonight. Paul, I opened the show asking a question that I don't think we've been able to ask in about 7 years, maybe eight, and that's, do you think the Sabres are going to make the playoffs? Because they are in a playoff spot. I would say the last few games haven't even gone their way, right? They're on a little bit of a losing swoon here, and they're still holding down the eighth spot. If they win tonight, we'll come in tomorrow in a playoff spot. It is early, but let's talk about the indicators here, Paul, whether or not you see this going in the right direction and not being fool's gold this time.
I at least see that a pretty good possibility that at least we're going to be talking about meaningful games in March. You know, we're not going to be sitting here. I don't think we're going to be sitting here at Thanksgiving, since it's coming up fairly soon, and saying, oh, geez, they're out of it already. You know, who's in the draft? And, you know, pretty much the way we've been going lately. So, yeah, I don't know if I'm willing to say they're going to make the playoffs, but at least it seems like exciting hockey is back. That if you pay your money to come to the arena, you have a good chance of maybe being entertained. And you're not going to sit there and say, I can't believe I just paid X amount of dollars to see that. The way, especially last year, when people, I mean, what you were keeping track of this. I mean, what was it? $6 you could get a ticket, and people still couldn't get rid of their tickets?
Yeah, I think one of the things, Paul, and I'm not even being snarky here, but one of the indicators that the Sabres are better is that I have sold some of my tickets to games I can't go to at face value. That's it. That once, you know, I got the email, hey, your tickets have sold and you didn't take a bath on them, I thought, oh, we might be on to a regular hockey season here.
Yeah, and you talked about recently they've lost a couple of games, but they had over 40 shots in both games.
It doesn't feel like it's over if they're down 2-0. The Ranger game, I think, is a good example. They get down 2-0. They play. They weren't perfect, but it's a bad 18 seconds, and I don't think the game is over at 2-0. I know the top line at least has the firepower to get back. I guess that's where they fall short, though, Paul. Right now, it is pretty much a one-line team.
Yeah, they had one game, the Ottawa game, where a bunch of other players chipped in. But that's kind of been few and far between where that's happened. You know, I think I expected more probably out of Sobotka, and I expected more out of Berglund. And then I won't throw Thompson in there because he's young. And, you know, I don't know where it's going with Tage Thompson. And I'm not going to say the whole trade was a bust or anything like that, because you just don't know how Tage Thompson is going to react and how he's going to be as a player. I think he has all the tools to be an excellent player in the league, and he's just got to put those tools together.
When it comes to Thompson, are you just seeing a young player? I mean, it doesn't look like the game is too fast for him or anything like that. It's just young guy that is finding his way?
He
skates well.
Oh, he skates very well for a big man. But that's the thing. He's a big man. He doesn't use his size. He circles off battles. He does those drive-bys that you talk about. And, you know, he just needs to get engaged in battles and use his size to his advantage, and he's got such a shot. But the thing is, you say to yourself, when does he ever get a chance to shoot it? Now, his last game wasn't good, but the game before, when he came back from sitting out, I thought was very good, and he got his shot off a couple of times and really forced the goaltender into some big saves and, you know, a couple of one-timers on the power play. But you know, it doesn't matter if you have a big shot if you never get yourself into position to use it. And that was the thing. So, you know, he's young and raw, and we'll just have to wait and see where he goes and how he develops.
Paul Hamilton joining us on the Western Hotline, Sabres in Montreal tonight. As we look for secondary scoring from the Sabres, Mittelstadt got a goal in that Ottawa game. He's been, I don't know, would you say he's been struggling and finding his way? Where's Casey Mittelstadt right now?
You know what? I see improvement in him every game, and it just seems like it's coming in very slow increments. And the thing is with him, and, you know, Kyle Okposo's next to him in the locker room. They both went to the University of Minnesota, and they have some things in common, and they talk a lot. And Okposo talks about how Mittelstadt sometimes can be his own worst enemy, you know, really getting on himself, but he puts the work in. You know, he goes, sits with coaches, and he goes over the film and really wants to be a good two-way player, because don't forget, he was in high school hockey a couple of years ago. Last year, he was his first year in college, and he was in high school hockey. He didn't have to play defense or anything like that. And he keeps telling me, I've talked to Casey a couple times, he goes, I'm not worried about the offense. That will come. He goes, it always has. He said, you know, I like playing with the puck, and I don't worry about the offense. And, you know, he's just trying to be a complete player. And you can see it out there. You can see him engaging in battles, even though he might not be the strongest guy out there. You know, he's willing to stick his nose in there and at least give it a shot.
Paul Hamilton joining us. For Mittelstadt, Paul, you know, you've got young players here. And if you're looking for the Sabres and thinking, can they make the playoffs, I think what happens is, It's almost like how the Bills talk about their team being young. The Sabres do have some youth, and whether it's Mittelstadt or Dahlin or you mentioned Thompson or somebody from Rochester, you know, if this team can ride it out and then find a guy that steps into a little bit of a bigger role, that might be the difference between, you know, finishing ninth after those meaningful games in March and April and finishing eighth.
Yeah, they have a couple of guys that can do that. We talked about Thompson. You know, all of a sudden he might the light might go off, and then he might step into a bigger role. Mittelstadt, as I said, I think is getting. I think Dahlin, there's a lot more to come, and he's good. I mean, we enjoy watching him play now, and some of the little things that he does, and he's going to be better.
Paul, I asked. On Dahlin and him being better, I asked Housley this week. What do they do from Sunday to Thursday, and how much, because player development is a big part of what the Sabres obviously do, what every team would do, is not just practice and coach as a team, but working on things individually. Do players watch film individually with a coach? Do they have their individual sessions from time to time? Like, is Housley taking Dahlin under his wing, or is it someone else on the coaching staff? How does the organization bring along player development for a young player like that?
I know Chris Height will sit and watch a lot of film with him. Steve Smith is the – last year, Chris Height was in charge of the defense. This year, it's Steve Smith. And Chris Height is more of a – where he can do that individual stuff with players and go over things with them. And Darlene's another one that they played a lot of hockey to start the season. I think it was 9 games in 18 days or something like that. And it was Monday. And Housley just said, guys, I don't want anybody here. I just want you guys to take one day of get away from the rink, and we'll see on Tuesday. Guess who was at the rink watching film? And they had to chase him out of there. Dahlin. You know, he wanted to sit there and go over what he had been doing And Phil said, no, come on. I told you guys. I want you guys one day away from the rink, and they chased him out of there.
You feel like, is that different for Housley than maybe coaches they've had in the past? Was Bylsma like that? I mean, I wonder about Housley. One thing, you know, when Tim Murray's in his exit interview, he talked about how the players maybe felt like they needed a coach that was a little bit more of a coach, a player's coach. They get to know them, talk to them, ask them how they're doing, you know, be more a part of the group than Bylsma was at the time, because the story was that he was a little too, I don't want to say rigid as if it was disciplinary, but just, I don't know, cold and calculated in his office more than he was in the room, right? Was
that, right, yeah.
And is Housley, has he bridged that gap?
I don't know. The players don't talk about it all that much. You know, I think his assistant coaches are definitely out there. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he's out there or not. You don't hear players, you know, saying the same types of things about him that they really don't say a whole lot about him, other than, you know, that they basically, when there's a loss, they're not blaming the coaching staff. I know last year a lot of the players say, it's not Housley. I mean, he's telling us the right things to do. We're just not doing it. You know, and that was one of the things I'd be talking about. I go, Housley and the coaching staff lay out a game plan, then they go out and they do the exact opposite. Well, that's why there's so many of those players aren't on the team anymore. And they've moved on from a lot of players and changed over the team. And now, I was just watching practice yesterday. There's people laughing. You know, they're having a competition out on the ice, and they're excited about the competition. And all you have to do is do push-ups if you lose the competition. And they're excited about the competition, and you hear a lot of hooting and hollering and just players responding in practice where you didn't hear that before. So, you know, that's how they're even being engaged in practice, and you watch a fast practice now. You don't watch practices where pucks are in skates and you know, all the different stuff that we've been watching for how many years?
Right. It's you know, Paul, it's not even to say just for fans to have an engagement in this team in November to get off to a good start to have that happen. The players probably needed it too. In net, Linus Ullmark is a .934 save percentage and has played very well. We knew that Carter Hutton would probably be a guy that is your starter and grooming Ullmark at the same time. So how are things going in net for the Sabres?
Yeah, it didn't go quite the way I thought it would. I kind of thought that it would be more of a even setup the way it is, not 11 games for one and four for the other. But they basically did. Here, Hutton, you are the starting goaltender, and that's the way they've taken it as they've gone on. And Ullmark did have a five-goal game against him. I mean, against Columbus. I believe that was Columbus that he played, where it didn't go well for him. And the other games, it has. He's got a shutout victory over Arizona. He gave up two in his last start, and you know, has basically been the Saturday goaltender.
Yeah.
He's played the last four Saturdays and is 3-0-1. And Hutton played the first Saturday, beating the Rangers. And then Ullmark has taken over Saturdays after that.
Uh-oh. Paul caught out on us. He's gone? All right. Something happened. Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline as we try to reconnect with him and see what happens. Sabres in Montreal tonight, 7:30 face-off. The Montreal, they've been a surprise. Montreal was very much supposed to finish behind Buffalo in the standings. All right, Paul's back. You're talking about Ullmark on Saturdays, and after you finish your point, I'll get to Montreal real quick.
Yeah, that I thought it was funny that Hutton took the first game against the Rangers and won, and then Ullmark has gotten the last four Saturdays in a row going 3-0-1, so Saturday seems to be his time to play, but I did think that they were going to go a little bit more even in games than they have so far of 11-4.
All right, Paul, so Montreal tonight. Max Domi has been great for them, and they kind of did what the Sabres did, where they took a guy that in Alex Galchenyuk, who I think is a good player, but they thought they traded him away, and they get Max Domi. Brendan Gallagher's doing well. Thomas Tatar on this team, and Carey Price is, well, not as bad as he was last year, which is nice. He's still not been great for them. They're not doing it with goaltending this year. They're doing it with scoring and skating and a kind of like a young, fast team.
Yeah, only a .901 save percentage for Carey Price so far this season. He did not play the game in Buffalo. It was Niemi who actually played really well and kept the goals against down for Montreal in that game. But, hey, and I'll raise my hand, a lot of people laughed at Mark Bergevin for when he made that Domi trade, and I was one of them. And, you know, I think Domi will come back to earth. 9 goals, and I just think that's a little bit much to ask. I don't think, you know, that's something that he's going to be able to keep up, or a point a game, which he's basically at right now, as he has 16 points. I don't think he's going to be able to keep that up either. Tatar's been a guy who, you know, he's right behind him. You know, he's been a guy that's been able to put points up in this league before, but Domi had that one good year in Arizona and really just nothing, you know, since that, and that's why they were willing to let him go. So I just don't think that he's going to be able to keep that up as they move forward with the Canadiens.
Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline. How about before I let you go, Paul, you have a thought on the Milan Lucic incident that cost him $10,000?
I certainly didn't think he should be suspended. Yes, he did track the guy down, but he also did hit him from the front. And he didn't track him down from behind and come, you know, blindside him. And so, you know, when he turned around, he hit him shoulder to shoulder, knocked him down, then jumped on top of him. I can live with a fine for that, but I'm not as outraged about that as I have been about some other things that have gone on in the NHL over the years. That he was just going after a guy that went after one of his guys, and it was the same thing kind of with like a Bogosian when he took a run at a guy that smashed Darlene against the wall. And I'm thinking, what are you taking a charging penalty midway through the third period in a game like this? What are you doing? And then it occurred to me, wait a minute, he's the guy that hit Darlene. And Bogosian came from his side of the red line all the way into the zone to hammer this guy. And, you know, I was fine with it. It's like, all right, go kill the penalty. And I don't have too much of a problem with what Lucic did. They want to fine him, that's fine, but I wouldn't have suspended him.
I would suspend him, Paul, just because, well, I think at some point on that play, he stopped playing hockey.
He did.
Yeah, it was such a stalking maneuver. And I put it this way, he's probably lucky that the guy's not hurt. I mean, was he out to injure him? Was he out to hurt him? Because maybe not. When he gets on top of him, it looks
like. Face-to-face, right. And it was a shoulder-to-shoulder. And if you want to give him an instigating penalty, fine. If you want to fine him, fine. But I don't even think it was even close to a suspension.
Right. All right, Paul. Well, enjoy it tonight. Enjoy Montreal. The Bell Center still these days, right? That's what it's called?
Yes.
The Bell Center. All right.
And they have their hot dogs that I forget what they're always called. I always ask Marty, what are those things called? But Bob said he used to eat like 8 of them when he was
a French hot dog? Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's got a bun that it's a toasted bun and with a hot dog in it, and it's their thing. It is very good, but
I'm looking at it right now. It basically looks like it's like a hot dog wrap, kind of. Like the hot dog is in a loaf of bread.
And after the game, the players have quite a few of them in there. And as I said, I just remember Rob saying he used to eat like 8 or 9 of them after games. He probably still does eat 8 or 9 of them. I don't know what he's doing down there.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Take care, guys.
Paul Hamilton. I'm looking at the images of the French hot dog. If you Google French hot dog, it looks like, I don't want to say you'd see this at a gas station, but one of these looks delicious. It's like a hot dog that's inside of a baguette, and that looks great.
It's like a pig in a blanket, but like enlarged by 5.
I'm here to say that I judge sandwiches based on bread an awful lot. Bread is probably the most important. It might be second most important. If you're to rank things in a sandwich, as a hot dog, a sandwich, yada, yada, it's condiments 1, bread 2, everything else after that. Maybe even bread first, but it's all about, you know, you give me some sort of good fancy condiment and a really good loaf of bread, I'll, you know, I don't even care what it is. Turkey, ham, hot dog, doesn't matter. 803-0550. if you have a sandwich take. Every once in a while we turn into sandwich radio. We're going to get to Marty Baron on the other side. Sal Capaccio is going to be in studio top of the hour at 8 o'clock as we maybe shift a little bit of bills there and talk about Sean McDermott's comments yesterday about the quarterback situation, because I think Josh Allen's going to play. I don't have any inside information. It just seems like Allen's speaking with the media yesterday, and maybe Sal will tell us this isn't the case, but for me it's just a feel thing. That was he's practicing again. He talked like he's ready, and if he's practicing and throwing footballs, then I think he'll be good to go. So I think we might get Josh Allen. We don't get Sam Darnold, though. Sam Darnold will miss the game. He had his foot in a walking boot or something. All of a sudden, Sam Darnold's hurt, and he's not going to play, which is disappointing. I was excited to see this. Like, what's this Bills defense do to Sam Darnold? Because they'll be playing against him twice a year as long as he's the Jets quarterback. That would have been something else to look for this weekend, but we are not going to get that. So hopefully we at least get Allen. Marty Baron next, Sal Capaccio, top of the hour on WGR.
The only way you can take WGR Sports Radio 550 with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Brought to you by GEICO Local Office, West Seneca. It's time to talk Sabres hockey on WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, Marty Baron joins Howard and Jeremy. Marty Baron's appearance on WGR is brought to you by Paul William Belch, your power of attorney, by Jim's Steakout, because hockey fans eat hoagies, by Niagara Falls Memorial Medical Center, exceptional care, exceptionally close, and by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth.
Get to Marty Baron in just a moment. On the Wester Hotline, we've also got NHL standings to update you on. The Sabres play tonight against Montreal. Buffalo and Montreal currently holding the top two spots in the wild card race, the only two spots that get in. Montreal 18 points, Buffalo 16 points. The Sabres are 7 points behind Atlantic Division leader Tampa, 4 back of Toronto, 2 back of Boston. And that's your look at the wild card race and your NHL standings, brought to you by Arthur Pressman, Western New York's traffic and DWI attorney. Your ticket to justice. The Bills announcing that Josh Allen practicing on a limited basis. LeSean McCoy doesn't want to speak to the media. Asked if McCoy is frustrated or upset about not being traded. Sean McDermott didn't say no. He simply said we're going to keep that thing in house. We'll get the full story on how that went down coming up at 8 o'clock with Sal Capaccio. But first, Marty Baron. Marty, good morning. You're there. Well, we're catching up with him. We're dialing all the way to Montreal. Marty's always got stuff to say about Montreal. I always find it interesting what players say about Montreal and whether or not you'd want to play there. Craig Revey tells great stories about Montreal. If Craig, if you're listening today, tell all your Montreal stories on the Instigators today if you haven't already. Marty Baron on the Western Hotline. Marty, good morning.
Good morning. Are you asking me tough questions today?
I'm asking you the toughest questions today. Do you wish you had played in Montreal at any point? I know some players are very much of the opinion that it would be a nightmare, and others it's a dream come true.
Well, I would have loved to have played in Quebec City or played for Quebec City if they would have had a team while I was playing, because that would have been like going home for me.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the second closest to that would have been Montreal. I think it would have been fun. But it also it depends in what circumstances and at what time in my career. You go in the middle of your career when you're maybe at your peak and, you know, there's nowhere else but down to go, I think would have been a really tough situation, especially maybe as a French-Canadian. But, no, I would have definitely enjoyed the Saturday night craziness that is the Bell Center and the hockey, you know, kind of centric town that that Montreal is.
It's a hockey crazy place. It's different than here because, I mean, this might be fishbowl where that is, what, I don't know, a whole, like Craig Revey talks about being stalked in the movie theaters and people always know where you are. Maybe not that they don't leave you alone, but I don't know, any of your former teammates or friends that have talked about it up there?
It's just, it's different. Like, it's not like you walk around the grocery store here in Buffalo and you'll get, four or five people asking you about the season and asking you about, you know, players and all of that, which is great. It's fantastic. Montreal is that, but then you multiply it by about 100 and the fact that not only do you have the good people, you know, talking to you, you have the crazy people talking to you and the negative people coming in and just, accosting you at the, you know, at the side of the road, or to your kids in school. It's just, it's become really, really, it's not even, at times, it's not even the fun environment to be a public figure. It's just becoming all that is negative with social media and all of that put into one.
Marty Baron on the Western Hotline. All right, Marty, I'll ask you, here's the tough question, the question that's 7 years in the making, for the first time we're taking calls on this in about 7 years. Do you think the Sabres will make the playoffs?
I don't think the Sabres will make the playoffs. I think they will be really, really close. I think that it's going to be a season where they will be probably a mid to high 80s in points. But there's so many teams that you're looking at in the Eastern Conference. I mean, you watch Washington and Pittsburgh last night, and you think of Pittsburgh saying, man, Pittsburgh should be a playoff team. And, you know, they've lost five in a row. So at some point, I think the Pittsburgh Penguins will win five in a row and will make that up. But I don't think my answer, and I answered on your poll this morning, on the WGR poll this morning, and I said no. And I don't know where it's at right now. It was pretty... A pretty evenly matched, but I just think there's so many teams in the East that will compete for a playoff spot that the Sabres will just be outside of that.
And if Montreal is one of these teams that stays where it is, that makes it that much tougher because, I mean, a lot of people came into the season expecting Montreal, their opponent tonight, to be maybe not a pushover, but definitely finish behind Buffalo in the standings.
Well, yeah, and the thing with Montreal is they've been able to stay really good and win games. And Carey Price has been just average when you consider the numbers. Now, I know that it's not always about the numbers and, you know, you've got quality of shots and scoring chances and all of those. But, you know, when you played 11 games and in seven of them your save percentage is below 900, that is not Carey Price-like. So the you know, the Canadians have been able to win, have been able to maintain the pace without having Carey Price play anywhere near what you'd expect out of him.
Marty Baron joining us on the Western Hotline. They've got Max Domi. That's been a surprise for them, how well he has played for them. I don't know if he's expected to be a point-per-game player, but the last time these two teams played, Buffalo looked like the clearly better team and managed to get the win over Antti-Niemi. So, I don't know, Marty. I'm just... when it comes to this team making the playoffs, if they will or not, I also voted no. But I do think they'll be close, and it comes down to a couple things. It comes down to, can they get second-line scoring past the Eichel-Pominville-Skinner line? And can Linus Ullmark continue to play well? I wonder if Ullmark is going to demand, just in his play, to get more opportunities than he's getting. I do think that there's the opportunity for this Sabres team to catch something, and that might be the difference between making it or not.
Yeah, the secondary scoring is big if you look at it. You know, yeah, they scored 9 goals against the Ottawa Senators, but really what got it going was Kalaposo coming down the wing and taking a shot that found the back of the net. And really, that's what you need. It helps a team so much when you don't have to always put the Jack Eichel line on the ice to get scoring chances and to get goals. If you're down a goal in the third period, you don't want to be, you know, just saying, well, Jack's on the ice, we have a chance to tie it. Jack is not on the ice. We basically are just killing the clock right now. That needs to change, and I think Phil Housley is looking for a combination, is looking for ways to create maybe a little confidence in certain guys. I know that he put Sam Reinhart on the first power play last week, tried to get him some confidence, tried to get him some minutes that way. Now it seems like he switched things around when he's got Sam back on the second power play. But, you know, you're a coach. You can only do so much. The guys at some point are going to have to produce as secondary scoring. It's almost right now where your secondary scoring is coming more from your defensemen than your second and third line. And that's not something that we've said at all about the Sabres. And when you talk about Linus Ullmark, you know, yeah, Linus has played really well. And it's a great thing to see. I just find it that Carter Hutton has been a little snake bitten over the last little bit here. He's played well, but hasn't been able to really get on the winning side. And you look, that was the same thing against the Rangers. He played well enough to get a win, but they ran into a really, really hot goaltender, and that made the difference.
Marty Baron joining us. Marty, what's your take on the Lucic thing? Have you argued about it with Andrew and Craig yet?
I have not argued about it with those two. I have been paying attention to how sarcastic they have been on Twitter, so I don't know what is real or not. Listen, you just can't assault somebody like that on the ice, and you have to be careful not to, confuse toughness and physicality with flat out going after a guy in a position where you're not allowed to. And, it's okay to chase somebody around the ice and give them the half cross check and be, okay, let's go. Like, you need to respond to your action or to deliver a hit, whichever way you want to do it. Maybe you put a little extra weight in your hit, but when the player is able to be checked, but to crush a guy in the corner when the puck is nowhere near there and then to lay on top of him and just, throw punches left and right. I think it's one of those where you knew you were gonna get at least a fine out of it. I was surprised the league did not suspend them at least a game, but I think they were more looking to give them a pretty hefty fine as opposed to suspension.
How about Joel Quenneville? Got a thought on that?
Yeah, I am very confused with that. I mean, listen, 10-plus years with the Blackhawks, only once missing the playoffs, and that's because your goaltender suffered a concussion and then suffered from post-concussion syndrome. They finally get Corey Crawford back this year, just 10 days ago, and you make the change. I think this was a move that has been calculated. I think this was a move that Stan Bowman and the Blackhawks were looking at the schedule, and they said, hey, if we don't have a great start this season, we have a five-day period there where we don't play. That would be the time to make the move. I know that it's been well documented that maybe there was some issues between Stan Bowman and Joel Quenneville, and there is a lot of time those issues between general manager and coaches. A coach doesn't want to see his players and his good players go. A general manager has got to worry about cap and about, prospects and free agency and all of that. So I can understand where there would be issues there. But at the same time, I think Coach Quenneville, to me, is the type of coach with an organization that you don't really fire. He just kind of, walks away a little bit like, and I don't want to compare him to Scotty Bowman, but when Scotty was with Detroit, they were having success. They were winning cups, but it wasn't one of those where you fire Scotty. You just let him kind of go out in the sunset. And so I thought that was the same thing was going to happen with Chicago. It didn't. I was very surprised that they made the move.
All right, Marty. Enjoy the game tonight. 7:30.
Are you taking an Uber to the game tonight?
I'd love to. I've not yet been to Montreal for a game, and I would love to. So.
Well, I'm laughing because if you're taking an Uber, just be careful because the public figure you are, anybody could tape you. And then if you say something bad about Howard, it's going to be a huge story here in Buffalo.
Boy, I feel so bad for those Senators players that happened to. I feel very bad for it. I don't want to get all hot take and preachy here, but I do think we live in a society where it's way too acceptable to record somebody like that. And since it was legal in Arizona, it's okay. If you're the Senators players and the media approaches you to ask you what you have to say about it, you say, I talked about my coach. Everybody does that. You talk about your wife. If you're Matt Duchene, you say, the question is, you said you hadn't paid attention in 3 weeks. You say, yeah. I didn't really mean that. I'm just talking with my buddies about the coach. We're just griping about the coach. It happens everywhere, and there's nothing offensive about it.
No, and, it could have been a lot worse, let me tell you. There's some conversation you have with your friends that are a lot worse than that, so they kind of dodge a bullet on that. And to me, it's Ottawa's having a tough year and is having a tough couple of years or whatever. It shows that they care. They're like, hey, we never change anything. Like, if you pay attention in video, I don't know why we have video. We never change anything. Nobody's teaching us anything. And maybe there's better ways to do it. Like, how about you go in the coach's office and have a meeting with them? But that's not the easiest thing to do, and go into your coach's office and say, hey, coach, why don't we change anything? And why do you guys not teach us anything? So I do feel that they were blindsided, but I don't think it looks as bad on the players as some people may think.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And I do feel bad for that coach, too, that assistant coach they were talking about. All right, Marty, we'll see you tonight on the broadcast.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jeremy.
Marty Baron on the Wester Hotline. Yeah, he joins us every Thursday for this spot, talking Sabres. Talked a lot of hockey today because, the hockey team is a little bit of fun right now. And tonight, division game against Montreal. Marty brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney, Jim Stakeout, because hockey fans eat hoagies, and by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Wider Line, and then Sal Capaccio is in studio with me, top of the hour, as we continue on WGR.
WGR salutes both goaltenders showing up for pickup hockey. It's game time. 550 game time. Available wherever great beer is sold.
I figured it out. If someone ever says that tanking is bad, or that, and questions you when you say, if you're not going to be good, you might as well just be bad enough to get a really good draft pick. When someone says that's the wrong mentality, just tell them that they should just watch Jeopardy. That game, everyone has every single reason to give it 100% the entire game. Money's on the line.
Right. I like this. I'll go for it. But let's just say that I don't have a chance to win Jeopardy, and if I finish with $0, I get to pick the categories next week on the show. I think I would bet all my money, go to $0, and then pick the categories next week and help myself. I mean, Jeopardy isn't exactly a keeper league, you know?
You just immediately walk out of there with $1,000. Have you ever noticed that right after everything's
done? Wait, you get to keep what you don't make? Or if you finish in second, you keep the money?
No, what happens is it's like you notice when, you know, when everybody's all off afterwards or whatever, they change their number. Even if you had bid all your money and you went to zero, the third place person gets 1,000, second place person gets 2,000, and then third place, second place, first place. The first place guy keeps all their money,
gotcha,
the one that they earn. But right, second place gets 2,000, third place gets 1,000.
I'm confused on that. Good morning, by the way.
What's up?
I'm confused. Didn't the Weiner Line caller basically say, like, you should tank, but then kind of use an example of why you shouldn't tank?
I don't understand how it possibly work on Jeopardy.
I totally did not get that at all, phone call. Maybe it's because it's 7:52 in the morning. I don't know.
Me neither.
Because it's the Weiner Line.
Yeah, there you go. It's the Weiner Line. And we love the Weiner Line. 843-0234 if you want to call the Weiner Line at any point. Hey, we're going to have, I believe we're going to have Shaq Lawson on the show tomorrow and talk about Clemson. I'm told he's pretty geeked up for Clemson-Bama.
Oh, listen, man.
And thinking that's coming down the pipe.
Listen, I got to tell you, all right? It is one of the cooler things about the Bills locker room is those guys love their schools. And they were into it yesterday.
About Clemson and Bama, or about what? About who's the best team?
No, I'll tell you what it was yesterday. Yesterday, we can ask Shaq about this tomorrow on the air, all right? Yesterday, there was a heated debate. Heated. They were going at it, baby. It was Shaq against Robert Foster on whose quarterback will be better in the NFL. The Clemson kid or Tua?
Wow.
They were going at it yesterday.
Who's
it was
Clemson
great.
The Clemson kid that Lawrence?
He calls him Sunshine.
He does look like Sunshine.
He calls him Sunshine.
He looks like the Sunshine kid from Remember the Titans.
Yes. So I'm standing there. Shaq looks at me. He's like, who's going to go first? And I said, well, Tua's like small, so you know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Foster's like, he's going to win the Heisman. He's going to be the number one pick. I'm like, that's not how it works, Robert. I don't think so. He goes, what about ability? And I'm like, but we all know how this works. You go to the combine, and Shaq knows. Shaq's like, they're going to get him at the combine, dude. Like, he's not going to be the number one pick after he goes through all that stuff.
Right, right.
They were into it yesterday.
That's funny. That's what's the kid's name? Kelly or the Clemson
kid? Yeah.
We'll talk to Shaq about it tomorrow, but, I mean, I went to Clemson this year and watched that kid get knocked out of a game, and
what's his name, like Josh Lawrence or something?
I already forgot
like that?
What it is.
Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence. Thank you. Trevor Lawrence, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he looks pretty good. They're running back. I mean, Etienne, he's going to go early, too.
Other one is Kelly Bryant.
Kelly Bryant.
Who's hurt, right?
Yeah, right.
It was really cool yesterday. And the funny thing is, if you go, like, listen to any interviews yesterday from the locker room or watch, I think they were so loud that you can hear them arguing about it. In a great way, obviously. I just want everybody to know. But it was fun. They're like that.
Kelly Bryant was the kid who wants to transfer.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Because he got benched for, yada, yada, yada. Clemson drama. And they're doing all right. What did I have to whine about today? I had something I was going to bring up. What do I want to do? Do I want to do Bill Belichick raving about Stephon Gilmore saying he's on the level of Ty Law and Aqib Talib in his coachability and how much he wants to know about his job? No, that's not it. I guess I don't have much to whine about. Oh, here's a stat for you. I'll give you the stat of the day. Scott Kazmir, Football Outsiders. I like Sal bringing up the stats on the other quarterbacks that aren't always good stats because, you know, Josh Allen has had his share of struggles this year, and we point that out. And it's not just for the sake of doing it to Allen. So here's one on Sam Darnold. Darnold won't play on Sunday.
I'm so bummed about it.
I am
so
too,
bummed.
For two reasons.
Yeah.
First off, if Allen plays, things are different for me. But if you want the Bills to win, I think you might have wanted Darnold to play. He not only has the most interceptions in the league, he has the most interceptions that have been dropped. 14 interceptions and 6 dropped interceptions. So Darnold has turned the ball over quite a bit for the Jets. And the way that the Bills win games, if they do, is they get their turnovers and short field, maybe defensive scores. So if you were hoping for the Bills to win this weekend, I think Darnold being out is bad.
Yeah, I think the Jets have a better chance with Josh McCown.
By a lot. I think I don't know if the line
moves.
From what
we've seen.
But
here's what's interesting. We'll get to a break. I have noticed something about Jets media and fans and Buffalo media and fans that I want to talk about when we come back and how we're...
The quarterbacks?
Where we are with this right now. Okay, so let's talk about that when we come back.
Okay, that's on the way. Sal Capaccio with me, Jeremy White, here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.